that you're born an Italian. If you want your life to be great, see that you're born an Italiano and your life will be great.
Hey there, Paisani! Welcome back to another episode of the Italian American Podcast. I'm your host, John Viola. We are coming to you once again live and uncut, this time from Ralph's Pizzeria in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Did I say that correctly?
Every time I go to eat, he has to.
He's got a slice of pizza ahead of stop.
Pizza. This is where we are, correct?
I got it right, right? Yeah.
We've never done live.
Not a pizza
in anyone's restaurant.
No, we did once in Frost, Bonanima Frost, before it closed many years ago.
Did we really?
Yes.
That was like the maiden voyage.
In the history, when we do in the history.
That's like the Titanic, and now they're under.
I know. I missed. That's my favorite restaurant. Gone.
Yes, that is true.
Another
that's
one bites
favorite.
The dust.
That's another one bites the dust. As one of our guests today, Louis Nicastro, says, it's the great extinction.
Yes. Let's first of all, we've
can
kept,
I eat my pizza now?
You can eat your pizza.
Can I put the microphone down?
Yes,
you can. I guarantee you, I have witnesses, the minute I go to take another bite,
go ahead, I'll give
you're
going to
ask me a question.
I should, shouldn't I? But I'm going to rely on you a lot tonight because my voice from the Jets game
yesterday
is gone.
You've got all these people here. What do you need me for?
But, you know, you're the co-host, you know what I mean?
Occasionally.
You're the authority on
on what, on pizza in New Jersey?
On pizza in New Jersey, yes. No, actually, as I introduce two of our return visitors, and I don't want to call them guests, they're hosts today. One is actually the authority on food here in New Jersey. Anthony Scilia, Tony Mangia, you've heard him on the show before. He's our great friend and somebody I've wanted to cycle through as an honorary co-host a bunch of times. So Anthony and I spent the weekend together in Detroit's Italian community. So welcome back.
Thank you very much, John.
Hope you have recovered better than I have from being away. And I'm trying.
I'm getting there.
It was a productive weekend. We had another mini IFL, but exhausting.
Very exhausting.
And a lot of eating. We did a lot of eating. We ate our way through Detroit, which I loved. And I follow him anywhere to restaurants. This guy's the gourmand of our group, so it was well worth it. And you may recall another one of our returning voices, Louis Nicastro, was on only a couple months ago, really, right?
Oh, yeah, when Napoli won.
Yeah, not that long ago. It was pretty recently. And Louis is instrumental in the reason we're all together today. You know, we've been trying to do more of these shows on the occasions that we're together hanging out and getting to do really interesting Italian-American stuff. And this one is a great cause because today was the sort of rededication of the bocce courts right out here in East Rutherford, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, today's the first time I think a game's been played there in years.
Is that right?
I would say so, yeah. We just recently got done with the construction a couple weeks back, but that court was scheduled to be demolished.
Wow.
Yeah, I was brought to my attention by our friend here, Tony Mangia. He was the one that posted about it on Facebook, and I knew we had to do something.
So now we've got a couple of guests coming on the mic. I don't know if you want to introduce them. You want to introduce them. We've got some ladies here with us who are instrumental in getting this thing back on track. You want to make the introductions?
Sure. We have here Christina and Danielle.
Hello, I'm Danielle Girardi.
Hi, and I'm Christina Latino.
And both of them have been instrumental in getting young Italian-Americans to learn about the sport of bocce and to help rebuild this court for future generations.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we're gonna dig into your story and your leadership on that in a little bit. But first and foremost, it was a great night. Pat, who is the? I saw the Unico
here we
flag.
Go.
And
the
well, you finished the peak.
No,
put
I have the
microphone.
Flag.
Okay, pause for the no, cross for a second.
Right.
Unico flag, NIAF, your brother's
why,
here.
Why
NIAF.
Are we here? What is the cauldron that we throw in, the big manesa that we're making here? Is that one of our themes has been that in a culture of doom and gloom, we're not a positive people, there are many bright lights on the horizon who are young, who are under 30, or in their early 30s, who are our future. That's what IAFL was all about. That's why you were there that weekend, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was, Louis and Danielle and their cohorts or their followers or your disciples, which is Elmwood Park Unico.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
31.
And you are?
29.
31 and 29, the future, as their Unico chapter. Now, there's some parts of the country that doesn't know what Unico is. It's the largest Italian-American service organization. Somebody who was 31 and 29, who last year were 30 and 28, saw that in East Rutherford had a really nice public bocce court that nobody was using. People were using sometimes to urinate when they came out of a bar mm-hmm. or to sleep in it and all kinds of other stuff. It's in a very nice area, but it was not being utilized. And they went to East Rutherford, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you said, we want to fix the bot. Now, you're from Elmwood Park, your Unico chapter, but you guys, you have members from many different places, and you, the young people, quote-unquote, stood up and said to East Rutherford, which has a very high Italian-American population, we want to save this bocce court.
That's absolutely correct. You're right. We are from Elmwood Park Unico. East Rutherford doesn't have a Unico chapter, but it falls within our district, New Jersey District 7. So as custodians of Italian America within our district, we stepped up. We went and reached out to their public works chairperson, who met with me at the park, was gracious enough to meet with me, and was reminiscing about his father playing bocce in the backyard. They built him a court when he was too old to go to the public park. And I said, look, we got the manpower. If you give us the permission, we'll come in here. We'll help you clean this up.
That's awesome. It's been here a long time then, the park.
It has been. Before the park was there, it was a bar. Wow. But I'm not sure when.
I knew that bar, yeah.
Park City?
It was Park City.
Yeah, it was.
While I'm eating my pizza.
But you knew the bar.
See, John is very disciplined. John wouldn't have the pizza in the middle, so that's not me. Yeah, that was a fun bar.
Yeah.
See, where the bocce court is now, that was the narrow part. But where the parking lot is, it went all the way back.
That was a big bar.
My friend Mario, who's here with me today, we had many happy memories there.
Yeah.
And days gone by. But if a bar of your wonder years has to die, what better phoenix to be resurrected as than a bocce court?
You got a lot more of your life where you're going to be playing bocce in a very casual, slow way than going out to a wild bar, that's for sure. I'm in East Rutherford for, other than coming here for games, right? Because I guess this is the territory in which the Meadowlands is. So the horse racing track here in New Jersey, obviously the MetLife Stadium, the home of the Giants and the Jets, one or two WrestleManias, as I recall. So the great sports complex, I've been out here for that, but this is the second time in my life I've been to East Rutherford, the town, and I was here last night because before the Jets game, I asked Tony, my dad and I wanted to come early and meet my brother and have a little red sauce, and I said, Tony, you know, everything's closed on Monday, so he sent me to a great place. It's called New Park Tavern, correct?
Correct, yes, yeah. That's it.
We had a great time. That was a great
Been around for close to 100 years, too, so it has some history here in East Rutherford, opened by the Italiano family, and it was actually a tavern, and inn many, wow. many moons ago. And today it's just a bar and a restaurant, but making some good thin crust pizzas.
Yeah, they had like a really good bar pie, and I noticed when I pulled in, you know, if there's a red sauce joint, you know somebody was here, right? If it's a 100-year-old Italian restaurant, we didn't start it in a neighborhood where we weren't nearby. There's a lot of businesses around here that are Italian. There's the importer from Bomboniera. There's two or three cafes. This is a very...
How many Bomboniera stores are on your main street?
None. No, I mean, there's nobody left.
Yes, they have an actual Bomboniera full-time.
And a big one.
Married or christening.
It's a big one.
It is. I went in to look. They were shipping out boxes, tons of boxes, all beautifully wrapped and stuff. I mean, it's...
They used to have a bakery here.
Yeah.
That was fun. They were from
the Park Avenue Bakery,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, Park Avenue Bakery.
Only bread, a real old
school bakery. They made the cookies I think they used to get from Brooklyn. But they were from Altamura di Bari.
Oh, that makes sense because they're famous for their bread.
Famous for bread. Cafe Roma's here, right? Anthony, you practically live there.
that's my spot,
is
Cafe
that
Roma.
Kumad? If you get divorced, it's because of Cafe Roma, right? Your wife says you're with Cafe Roma more than you're with me.
Every day. That's where I go after work. That's my decompression time.
And if Cafe Roma, who's a podcast listener and supporter, if they were not in Sicily on vacation... We would be there.
Yes.
But we're here in Ralph's. Now, you hear background noise.
And a lot
like
of it.
And I love this background noise. It's like being in a church with crying babies.
Yes.
Because we're surrounded by young people. Because Christina Latino, who's here, brought the kids from the Kocha Institute, the Italian-American footprint at Montclair State University. She brought the kids to play on the bocce court. So we have a contingent of people, about 29, 31. They go to East Rutherford, correct me if I'm wrong. The town gets behind them. But if I'm right, didn't the town say you had to do a little bit of demolition before they were going to put the money up?
Oh, yes. We helped remove. There was a lot of dry-rotted wood lining the walls of the court itself. So we came down. It was a very hot October day last October with crowbars and sledgehammers and saws and went to work, sweating out there.
So your crew, your Unicans, went down there, and I did a drive-by. I had an event that day, but I remember I did do a drive-by. You guys did the demolition on the property. And, you know, I was saying to John earlier, my inkling is, and maybe I'm wrong, but the municipality probably wanted to see if you were serious before they put the money in. Because if I'm correct, they had other plans. They were going to tear down the bocce court and just make it a little park, correct?
That's right. They wanted to put up some more picnic tables, maybe some more seating.
So once the municipality saw that you guys came down and tore down the rubble or whatever you want to call it, what had to be the demolition job was done by you guys, then they came and redid the courts because you showed them that you were serious and you were here to stay.
Yeah, I do have to give a shout out to the public workers who tore down. There was a ramp with a retaining wall that a lot of people were urinating behind and tagging up with graffiti. They came in and they destroyed and they put that nice fencing you saw today, that silver fencing. They were working on that while we were working on the court itself.
And then Christina comes and brings an army of college students to play bocce.
So, Christina, are you a college student?
Yes, I'm currently studying for my MBA at Montclair State University.
And how are you engaged with the Coach Institute?
So I've been working at the Coach Institute for the past 5 years. I started as an intern there, and I worked my way up. Now I'm currently the program associate, and I work alongside our director, Mark Rotella, in creating programming initiatives to help engage students with their Italian heritage.
That's really wonderful. And the Coach Institute at Montclair State, Pat, you were a board.
I knew Joe Coach. Joe and Elder, sure. I was on Joe's board many, many moons ago. We'll just put it at many moons ago.
How old is the Institute?
That's a whole other episode because Joe was instrumental with the Italian Studies chairs when he was in Unico. So he was really a pioneer with that. And he went from that to endowing the Institute, the Coach Institute for the Italian American Experience at Montclair State University. Really, it's an episode that's worthy of its own.
Yeah, sure.
Its own episode because Joe made a lot of money in life, and he was very generous with a lot of money in life, and he was very philanthropic with Italian American young people. So Joe wanted to help keep Italian American kids in college too. Because that's such a critical age,
yeah.
Right? And he wanted to water the seeds of their Italianness.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so gung-ho about studies chairs on college campuses, about the Institute at Montclair State. And Joe kind of went like a Johnny Appleseed around college. I mean, he was in his 70s at the time, his late 70s at the time. He went around college campuses. He used to call them the Amici Clubs. That was the name that he picked for them. But he tried to form a confederation of Italian college clubs around New Jersey and the New York metro area. And, you know, the seeds he planted, again, it's all about planting seeds. Hear all that noise? I'm telling you, it's like babies in church. These are all kids, 19, 20 years old, who came here, played bocce. I don't know if they played all the time. They've ever played it before in their lives, but they all experienced it. We all went out for pizza afterward. That's why we're in Ralph's Pizza, and you hear the noise in the background. But it's the fruit that came from the seeds that Joe planted 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, sometimes you don't live to see, what they say in Italy, you plant an olive tree for your grandchildren?
Yes.
And these are the olive trees of Joe.
That is amazing. You know, we were in Detroit this weekend for the IFL, and I think, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, we were talking to a couple of groups. There was a few representatives, younger people representing groups that are, you know, 100-plus years old in Detroit. And one of them was saying that they've had a lot of success, the Livonia Club in Livonia, Michigan. They've had a great success growing the young population in their club, and one of the things that's been really successful is their bocce tournament. They had like about 40 teams or something compete, and I've seen this in a lot of places. Bocce seems to me to be one of those traditions that is on the rise again. You know,
it's a gateway tradition.
It's a gateway tradition. Very well said.
That's
yeah.
Did you coin that?
I just now.
Brilliant.
As we sit here, gateway tradition.
Mark it on the wall at Ralph's.
Wow.
You see, I could come up with some good ones now.
You know
why
I say that? Because some Italian American academic is going to steal that and say that they came up with it. They're going to write a paper on
that's
it.
That's right.
John and I know who it is. We're not going to call any names. So there's a few people out there. Some suspects.
They'll be the next publication.
The usual suspects.
Italian American
yeah, yeah.
gateway tradition. Yeah, yeah. But it's true, though. You know, like I notice now when we travel around with younger people. You know, I've been doing this professionally for 20 years. You've been doing it for longer, and I know the volume. I can't point to an academic paper that tells me, but I know the volume of conversation when people say, like, oh, you know, we're going to a club, a party to jar tomatoes. How many institutions are doing it? So, you know, people who don't do it with their family are doing it in parties. And bocce seems to me, you know, I'm sure most people don't have courts in their yards anymore. But if you can come together and do it for something like this or as a tournament or as a club event, yeah, it's a gateway.
I think so is jarring sauce. That's a gateway tradition as well.
I really do. I feel
because
like that's really increased.
I think TikTok has helped to explode that whole aspect of the canning and the jarring of tomatoes, something that everybody did in their backyard, but now even non-Italians are doing it.
Yeah. Is that right?
I mean, you see it all over TikTok, I'm sure.
I've logged on to TikTok once. I think we have a TikTok for the podcast.
Well, maybe Instagram.
Yeah. We have a standing invitation, and Mike Giordano's. He was going to move it for us. That is one of the great regrets of my life. If I die tomorrow,
but that's
my deathbed regret will be I did not jar tomatoes with Mike Giordano.
We got to do that. But that's the point. Like, I do it with my mother-in-law. We didn't do it this year. It's our off year. But Gina Biancardi is now doing it with the public class at Casa Belvedere.
Whose idea was that?
Was it yours?
I don't know.
Okay. Gina, if you're listening.
We were supposed to do it with the city of New York. That was the plan.
Is that right?
Because I wanted to bring the scientists in. Because my thing is jarred tomatoes just don't kill anybody.
Yeah. No, you're very good. That's why you don't make sausage in a group.
Well, no, I'm very, you know. We don't want to kill anybody.
Yeah, you don't want to poison people. But you're right, Tony. I noticed more on Instagram and stuff like that. I didn't think about that. But you could see where these things are becoming trends. And we talked about it on an episode last year or a year before. I see so many trends on St. Joseph's Zeppelis now. You know, very few people I knew, even if they were Italian, were going out and making sure they had Zeppelis or Sfinchies. But now it's everywhere. Now it's like a...
Do you think that's true?
Because,
you know, I like to lean negative.
I think we did a show.
Yes, we did together.
We did it together.
Well, COVID, I mean, people were making them at COVID because they were stuck in their houses and they couldn't go out to get them. What do you guys think in general? Do you think these are gateway traditions? Do you think TikTok has an influence?
I have a theory. I think that this is the Italian version of cornhole, right? That game has exploded in popularity within the past 10 years when I think you trace it back far enough, we invented the yard game, right, with bocce ball. And this is our version of it.
That's an interesting point. I didn't think about that.
What was that game we were playing in Easton? Quats? With the slates?
That is a Rosetto game from what they've told me.
I
don't know. It's a game. It's like it looks like donuts.
They're rubber.
They throw rubber donuts on a stick connected to a piece of slate.
To a slate.
Is that an Italian thing?
It's a Rosetto thing. But they play it also in Easton, because that's the slate belt. Yeah, that's the slate belt.
That's interesting. I never heard of that.
Neither did we until a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we were at the San Placido. Yes, the San Placido lamb roast. Right, with our friends at San Placido.
My people.
Your people. They are technically your people.
They are. My second great-grandfather was born in Casa di Lucio.
Yes, that's true. And so. We had a great time. And they're the ones, Angelo and Chris and Mario and all the guys there were the ones who showed us. And they said to us, how come you guys didn't see this in Rosetta?
That was interesting. I don't know.
That was interesting.
Maybe we missed it. I mean, we were overloaded anyway. I mean,
we were overloaded.
We spent a lot of great time in Rosetta, but you can't see everything in 2 days. But, yeah, I think that's the theme, these gateway traditions. And, I mean, you guys tell us, you know, what is it that you find your generation is attracted to in these kind of things, especially like the Coach Institute? You know, what draws the most people?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think a lot of us are just, you know, at this point trying to find things that connect us back to our ancestors. You know, for me at least, like, My nonna was born in, so they make fun of me. I'm from the northern part of Italy.
You're the token northerner. I was going to say that. I didn't want to start that pie.
You can.
The
it's okay.
You're the token northern Italian. We're going to have to keep you around as our token.
And look,
northern
we had to have
Italian.
Her here to get something done. See, this is what happens. She's the one who got it done.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
So my nonno came to the United States from the northern part of Italy. And, you know, my nonna was here. Her sister was born there. And we went there last year and saw his town in Suendena. And it was just such a incredible feeling to see the places where he grew up. So now having that connection, it's like, okay, what can I do more? And now, you know, being part of Unico, being part of the Italian Apostolate, and being, you know, with Eric and Pat and Tony and Lou, you know, just being with everyone, I think it's for me like just that further connection. I think starting to try to learn the language, seeing my cousin goes as much as she can, tries to, you know, continue and practice. So from the northern part of Italy, we don't do the seven fishes on Christmas Eve. So we do.
What
like,
do you do? That's a great question.
You ask me a lot of questions about what we eat,
I'm
what we do, what desserts we have. So for us.
I didn't get any of it, so apparently you're not making it. I throw the hint and you don't bite, but I'm telling you, I like to eat, you know.
So for us, a lot of the time we'll do like polenta. I'm shocked.
That's
really?
I grew up with a lot of
polenta. 7 days a week and probably twice on Sunday.
So my mom actually isn't the Italian one, but she tries to. My nona passed away when I was younger, and my nona passed away before I was born. So we, growing up, like the first 3-4 years, my cousins and I had my grandmother, my nona, to speak Italian to us. She only spoke Italian, so we didn't really have much more than that. And my mom and my aunts and my dad trying to keep those traditions alive. So we do polenta, we do chicken. They raised rabbits. So with the polenta, they had rabbits with the polenta.
You know, I'll give you the rabbit polenta. That you talk about Northern Italy. When we were in Tontitown, which, by the way, that episode's coming out soon. They talked about that in Umido, right? That was their big thing.
Yeah,
they were growing up, the people, because they're from Varese in the north of Italy. And their big thing was polenta and rabbit. And sometimes squirrel and wild game, because they were in the forest of northwest Arkansas. That was a big deal for them. And then there was a festival that they still do every year, this Polenta Festival.
Yeah, we promised to go, and we didn't show.
No, it's not yet.
No, it's November. No. We didn't go last year.
We didn't go last year.
We're going this year?
We'll try to go this year. I would love to go for that. I'm not a big polenta guy, all due respect. But, you know, once in a blue moon.
I do love it.
You love it?
I liked it baked.
I like it baked, too.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
I'm going to have
you
it,
put,
have
you
it
mix
baked.
A little lard in it.
Yeah, if I'm going to have it, that's like more the southern way, though, right? That's how my nonna made
it. My grandmother's people would put raisins, so they put raisins
Ooh,
in everything.
I like raisins. I'm a raisin.
Raisins and lard and then bake it.
Savory or sweet?
Savory. They would know what they would put on it? My grandmother called it like cabbage stufata.
Yeah, stufata. That's
stufata,
right.
Cabbage. But that's my grandmother's side.
Yeah.
But the Vitales put the sfionzolo on it and...
Everything.
We should have a polenta party that never happens, but we talk about on air. We're going to have this. We're going to have that.
Well, who did you have polenta with? Nick Fedeli, right?
You know what? That would be... This episode would be a travesty if I did not say that an other earthly experience... Non-earthly? Non-earth?
What's the right word? No.
A non-earthly,
otherworldly?
Otherworldly experience.
Non-earthly.
I had in the
though.
House of Umberto Fedeli. Because they make the polenta and they cook the broccoli rab. So the broccoli rab kind of goes mushy. And the flavor of that, the flavored water, is what flavors the polenta. It was outstanding.
Where did they do it?
I'm not going to mention. We had a cardinal. That is a God's honest truth.
Yeah, you had a cardinal.
He was licking his lips when he had that. It was that good.
Broccoli rab polenta.
Yes.
Somebody tells me, and I forget who. Maybe it was Tontitown. They eat it on
How
a big wooden board.
How is it we
board.
Started out with bocce balls and now this is like the same?
We meander.
But it's a very Italian meander. Now we go back
to food.
Like, if you tuned in right now, you would think that this is a food-based episode.
That's absolutely true.
And there's someone complaining about that. You know, like, they are all
true.
Over the place. Yeah. They have no organization.
After all these years, I think if people minded that we meandered, they'd stop listening by now. That's my guess.
They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
The people complain about meandering. If they're still stuck around,
then
I mean,
there's something wrong with them.
They really want that
glutton
upset
for
with
punishment.
Meandering.
Yeah, that's no.
I am the meanderer. What do you make on Christmas Eve?
She just said polenta.
They make polenta on Christmas Eve too. We get a double header: polenta for Christmas Eve, and then you have the leftovers Christmas Day.
I don't know what they used to do on Christmas Day. Probably like a roast or something, like a roast with. I don't know, potatoes.
Well, that's your
or
homework. Go home, find out, and then report back to the podcast
with samples.
The other thing that one time I had told you about, so when I went to Italy, we also had from my region, casoncelli, which is almost like, think of like a cross between tortellini and a ravioli. In like a, we do a lot of brown butter, sage sauces, with that I grew up with as well. But the curacchino inside.
Oh, yeah.
And
my wife's family
I
makes
told
the
you,
curacchino.
Pat, that we're going to make it for you.
Yeah, sure.
I have to.
You're
going to
go
that.
On the Dolores Island of the famous and infamous duck that will never be seen.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little, well,
how many years is that I'm supposed to get this duck? And they think it's
five,
a joke.
5-6 years.
People can't. No, this is a true.
The best
thankfully,
is she calls you
she
the,
never
day,
listens,
the day that
so
it's made.
Know. Yeah, she calls me like, well, we're having it in 15 minutes. Can you come over now? Oh, shucks, you can't make
that's
it.
That's a setup. I was talking about that. That's a very Italian thing. If
that's
you really
Italian.
Don't want somebody coming, you give them the like last-minute invite because you know they're not going to make that effort. But you
Can
know.
You be here in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
It's already.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
You know, I'm unfair, though, because she did invite me once. Let's clarify that I was booked.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a repeat invite, so it is what it is.
You had your shot.
Christina, what do you think about all these kids here? I mean, because the noise level is raising, which shows that they're having a good time. So they got to meet each other playing bocce, right, on the courts. And now they're having pizza and soda, and it's a very kind of 1950s.
Oh, yeah, because September is the beginning of the school year, right? Yeah.
Yes. We just started back at the end of August, and I think it's absolutely beautiful because one of the things that struck me once I finished my bachelor's, it was the end of Zoom classes. And that's when I returned to in-person courses, and there was just campus was empty. There was an absence of student involvement on campus. Nobody was engaging with anything. And in particular, I saw that that students of Italian-American heritage were just not involved at all. Reduction in language enrollment was down. Students weren't coming to events. Students weren't even stopping by the office anymore for coffee. And to me, that just struck a chord. And I said, we need to do something about this. Because that's not right. These aren't the students that I know. These aren't the Italian-Americans that I know that I've grown up with. This isn't my generation. So for me, seeing not only just Italian-American students come here, but also students of non-Italian descent come here, I think it's that sense of community that they really like that was lost during COVID. And it's just beautiful to see everybody come together once again over food, over bocce, over music, and just enjoy themselves.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. We talked about it a lot this weekend, the idea that, like, you know, so much of the community, our generation, way less, but older than us, gets fixated on the specifics of what club, who's the president, and they just fight with each other, and they separate, and they don't want to do things together because this guy's not in charge, or that woman's not in charge. And I think younger generations are just looking for a chance to be together, and they're looking for the allure of family. I mean, you know, Pat talks about this all the time. I think it's one of my favorite things you ever talk about, which is in the old days when you lived in an enclave, you took for granted the stopover with coffee and pastry and in the being in the building and just exchanging pleasantries, or, you know, you needed something, somebody was there, and you were surrounded by your kin. And so you took for granted that that was a normal life. And now we don't necessarily have that. Like you, Tony, saying, you know, you got to go to the club after you get home from work. You talk with the guys. You have a coffee. You have a cigar. It normalizes your life. And as I was saying in Detroit, the one night that you and Brendan and Father Leo happened to come up by my neck of the woods in Westchester for cannoli, because only Brendan would truffle dog a cannoli an hour drive. Which
And all the Sicilians didn't invite me, but that's okay.
They didn't invite me. I lived down the block. Brendan posted a picture. I said, Brendan, are you in my backyard? He said, yes, so I didn't want to bother you. Well, I got to hang out, and I got to have a cup of coffee and a cannoli and catch up. And I went back home, and I told my wife, I'm so happy. I feel like I had such a great night, even just like catching up for 15, 20 minutes, whatever. And you could do that in the old days when you lived a block and a half away, you know, and you can't do it now. So when we can create causes for togetherness, we thrive as an ethnicity in the community, in the tribe, in the sort of comune, you know.
What's the term?
Campanilismo.
Campanilismo, right? Everything is under the
bell tower.
The bell tower. Yeah. Everything happens in the piazza.
Yeah. Yeah, you need that. You need
you
the
do.
Piazza.
You absolutely do.
Yeah. That's what he always called it. Before there was ever a thing called a podcast, many, many years ago when we first started to get to know each other and become fast friends, Pat said, you know, we need a digital piazza. That's what we need. We need a place that people can do that kind of stuff in a digital way. And then hopefully this has been a great venue for it, the podcast, and then you bring it back into the real piazza. You create spaces like this. And literally, we're in a real piazza a couple hours ago at the bocce court.
But you know, the message today, in my opinion, there's two messages. Number one, Unico National, the podcast, the Culture Institute, my brother who's at the table over there who works for NIAF, who donated the bocce balls.
Those are not just any bocce balls they donated to. Those are actually
Should we bring him on?
Used. Yeah, bring him on.
Where's everybody that? Work together. I'm going to get my brother. Does everybody out there know I have a brother? I think
Yes, they know. Of course, you always talk bad about him. Say how tough he is.
He's tough on me. He is tough on me. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, he's tough on you. Anthony, come here for a second. I'm going to ask you a question. Yeah. Pat's asking me if you're tough on him. I said you can be tough on him.
Yeah, I mean, when it's necessary, which might be often sometimes.
So Anthony O'Boyle, the younger brother of our beloved P.O.B. is
A.O.B.
No, he's AOB.
He's AOB.
Yeah, right. AOB, beloved younger brother, the beloved POB, is a member of the team at the National Italian American Foundation, my alma mater. And you came back here to donate not just any bocce balls for this new court, congressionally used bocce balls.
Yes, these were a unique piece of Italian-American history. These bocce balls were used for several years at the NIAF Congressional Bocce Tournament in D.C. And they were handled by, you know, some of the most prominent Italian-American politicians of the past 10, 20 years. They're retro, too, because they have the old NIAF logo on them. So that's why we wouldn't be able to use them at NIAF anymore. But now they'll have a good home with the Montclair State and the Coach Institute bocce games.
That logo is near and dear to my heart because it's the one that I helped create when I took over.
That's right.
I got a lot of grief for that. Change the logo without telling anybody. So I special place in my heart. I got a lot of branded stuff with that. You participate in that congressional open that they have and all those things, right? You've done a lot of work on the Hill in your career. Why is it that you can go from Congress to the Coach Institute and find people interested in playing bocce? Why?
Because I think no matter what, whether it's somebody who's a member of Congress or even, you know, the Speaker of the House, we've had Italian-American speakers, some of the most powerful people, or, you know, the guy in the neighborhood that works at the pizzeria or something like that, whatever it is, despite the differences they might have in their lifestyles, their careers, or wherever it is, there's still kind of core values and tendencies and similarities where I think if you took, you know, the NIAF congressional group and you threw them together with the local bocce league, yeah, there's going to be some things they have completely different lifestyles, but they're still going to have a lot of things in common.
Yeah.
And I think that that would be true with any of those two similar sort of groups.
I mean, look, you worked on the Hill. You've worked in the White House. I was down there for 6 years, and it's a horrible environment for any kind of bipartisanship. But I always said that people needed to take a deep breath and understand, like, I worked with all these members from both parties, many of whom I disagreed with in one way or another, but you did feel like you could relate around your ethnicity. We've done episodes. We need more of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's been political figures, and I'm not going to name any names, but there's people who, you know, if I lived in their district, I'd probably never vote for them.
Right.
But, you know, meeting them in those sort of, you know, common spaces, whether it's bocce or having a meal, you're all together at some kind of an event, you still find those things in common. You still have a relationship with them. So, I mean, there's, you know, people in those political spheres where, again, you know, you might not agree with them on a lot of different things, but you could probably still sit down and, you know, have a coffee or play bocce, and that kind of controversial air goes out of the room.
Yeah.
And you're all just a group of Italians having fun.
I always felt that when I was, forget the political side of NIAF, but, like, I used to say all the time that working there, I would fight with my employers on the board, and we'd argue about things, and we'd hug, and we'd laugh. And I remember flying a red-eye home one night with some board members from an event in San Francisco and talking about I was preparing to get engaged, and I had this great conversation like I was talking to uncles and aunts. And when I landed, I think a day or so later, I was recalling that conversation. I thought, you know, if I was the president of the American Heart Association, I would never have had that conversation with board members. I would have had a much different distance professionally. But when you're together with your own,
it's a tribe.
And I think that that's what's attractive here. You know, look at all these young kids, many of whom are starting out their college career, or they might not be in classes together, but you seek out these kind of organizations and these kind of institutes because you do feel comfortable at a base level, and you get to know people in a different way. You're just more open when you feel like you have that safety. I believe that.
Because I think this is the mortar of the bricks and mortar of an Italian-American community, because these kids are growing up in a much less ethnically identifiable world, right? So a kid in the Reagan years, those 80s and 90s growing up, they still had an ethnic identity. What are you, right? These kids are growing up in a world where Italian-America is kind of absorbed into white.
Yeah.
And that's now the perspective is a racial perspective, and the self-identity isn't immediately an ethnic one, right? And what's part and parcel to that also is you have these kids that they're like Heinz 57 mixes, some of them. But when they're here and they're with each other, they realize that there's a similarity of their shared common experience and the character of who they are and how they identify as a civilization. I think if you look at these kids, I mean, I wish we had Joe Manella in here, we could film them.
Yeah.
Because as you see them here breaking bread, these 19 and 20-year-old kids, there's no doubt that the mortar and glue is the fact that they're Italian, just the way that they're eating.
Yeah.
The fact that they're out here eating and not getting hammered in a bar somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure. You know, it's just, it's very much who we are. They're gathered around the table because we're gathered around the table people. And I'm sure long after John goes to bed tonight, these kids will still be hanging out. And that's how they have a community. They just have to realize the word Italian is supposed to go in front of them.
Mm. Yeah, it's very true. So now the bocce courts are there. They're open to the public. They've been renovated. These bocce sets from the halls of Congress are in the equipment shed, I suppose, right? Where do they go?
They can't disclose them. They're very...
Oh, they're, okay, give me the... So
they got to be hidden
anyway,
in a safe.
What's the plan for this thing? People can come and use it whenever they want in town?
Yes, people in town, East Rutherford, Carlstadt, more than welcome. It's open to the public. Anyone that has a set of bocce balls can come play. My dream is that local Italian programs in different school districts will incentivize their students to come and learn the sport of bocce, maybe extra credit, to have a Unico-wide tournament for all the different chapters we have. We have many chapters in North Jersey to do some fundraising work out of it, have something good come out of it. But just open it up to Italians and non-Italians alike. I would say most of the students that were here tonight, and Christina, you could correct me if I'm wrong, most of them, this was their first time ever playing bocce.
Yes, it's true. It was even my first time playing bocce, too.
So even if we do, like, tutorials or learn how to play events, something like that, that piazza, it should go to good use.
You know who's a great instructor is the notorious PLB. You'd be a great bocce instructor.
I would love to have a varsity bocce team at a major American...
You would.
University.
You take it very seriously.
It should be an Olympic sport.
It should be. Was. It's kind of ducked in and out of Olympics.
No.
I played.
Come on.
Yes, it's true.
You can back that up.
I think so.
Is curling like the Winter Olympics equivalent?
Yeah, basically.
I guess so.
But I guess Italians.
I mean,
do Italians curl though?
The idea.
I bet Canadian Italians do.
They probably do.
My parents did it once when they were on a trip to Canada. They went.
Really?
Yeah, with the brooms and everything. It looks fun. It looks you're sweeping. It's very bizarre. And if you haven't seen curling, all I can say is go on YouTube and look up curling. It's a Canadian ice sport where one team member slings a giant granite stone down the ice, and then the other team members have to sweep the ice with the brush or like a squeegee. I don't even know what it is to give it more slide. And it's like shuffleboard meets shot put meets sweeping. It's very strange, but
you know,
Italians are good at sweeping.
Yes, that's true. You get the nonnas out there; they'll be curling champions.
ESPN used to air in the early 2000s, the late 90s, a bocce tournament. It was huge. I think it was like $100,000, $200,000 pie.
What? Where? Where is it from? From Italy?
I think it was in Vegas.
A bocce tournament in Vegas. We got to find that.
I know it was out there because I know some of the people who collaborated on it.
That's amazing. Yeah, I guess it's an attractive sport. I mean, you know, it's
I was
social.
Good as a kid because I was fat. Fat kids make good because you got to have that weight behind you.
You got
I
all
couldn't
the
hit own. A baseball, but I could throw. Because the idea behind bocce is really screwing over your opponents. It's the most
That's
Italian.
What you're good at.
It's
vendetta.
Not how close I am. It's how far
sport.
Away you are.
That's
it's a vendetta
very true.
Sport.
Yeah.
Right. Baseball is the most. It's the emblematic American sport because you, the individual,
yeah,
are fighting a whole army of people. Right. Yeah. It's the individual against the world. It's a whole. But bocce is I'm going to get ahead by knocking you out.
That's so true.
Right. It's a real.
So
it's,
true.
It's a little glimpse into the Italian brain.
That's very true. I didn't even think about that.
There's a lot of technique to bocce, too, though. It's not just throwing
sure.
a ball.
No, it is.
It's not just launching. You have to, like these guys can, like, make the ball drop on a dime.
See, I can't do that. I'm very
bad. It's kind of like it's transcendental. It's like it's meditative. You got to go into a trance a little bit. When you play bocce, you can't be nobody else. It's you, the ball, and the universe, and that's it.
It's an interesting sport. I mean, I have great memories of it. I play with my grandparents, stuff like that. And
I used to play in the Villa Roma. That's how I was good as a kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
When you go to an Italian resort in the Catskills, children play bocce. That's
talk
that's
about what moving
happens.
While we wait for the studio, doing more stuff on location. That is
we're never going to get this
all-time
studio.
Dream of mine. No, we break
the studio,
ground.
The studio, the
we
rabbit.
We break ground on September 25th, day after the feast.
I never, this is news to me.
Yeah, I just found out. All our permits are pulled. Everything's ready. The designs are there. You've seen the designs. The audience obviously hasn't, but I can assure you it is going to be Disney World for Italian America, and I can officially announce that we will put up paper in the windows and break ground on September 25th. And I don't want to go ahead of myself and reveal when they say it'll be open.
In there now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you open your mouth. Forget about it.
I know.
That'd be my look. You're coming from
so
all
I know. A car's going to drive through the window.
Yeah,
I know.
Correct.
But I can say we're going to break ground. I'm really excited about that because the feast starts in a couple of days.
True.
Feast starts, I think, the day we air this on Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah. So San Gennaro's here. And we're going to be...
Wow, another year.
I know. Isn't it amazing? I know. It's a great time of the year. September, October. It's a very...
Wine-making season.
Yeah. People doing tomatoes.
Jarring tomatoes kind of eases into winemaking.
Yeah. Then Heritage Month comes in October. The feast, obviously, San Gennaro.
I said Jack Patron, one of our listeners, is an expert homemade winemaker.
We got a lot of listeners.
We have a lot of listeners in winemaking. I want to do a... Well, we keep saying, I would like to do a homemade wine tutorial.
Yeah. It's hard. It's a lot of finesse. I mean, you could have the things that blow up and, you know.
But the best Italian homemade wine is the one that tastes like vinegar.
Yeah.
That you have a relative or a neighbor that gifts you.
Yeah.
And thinks they're giving you gold and telling you how good it is. And they make you drink it in front of them. It's like turpentine. It's like, what's the stuff they clean off the nail polish with?
Yeah, nail polish remover.
Acetone.
Right.
Acetone. This is great. Yeah. Oh, what?
How do we know that?
I think I had to buy it
in
my
bottle.
Wife.
We should ask the girls that question.
What's it called?
The stuff you take your nail polish off with.
Acetone.
Acetone. Grazie. All right, bravo. Acetone. But a lot of people make wine that tastes like acetone. But to me, that's some people make fantastic homemade wine. Absolutely outstanding homemade wine, but the most enjoyment is the laughs. Especially there's some Italian people that there's like bugs flying around, and our fetch is still on the bottom. But that makes great vinegar. If you have the mother at home, it makes great vinegar.
That's very true.
It'll be the best
and some
salad,
people
the
make
best
fantastic.
Salad.
Yeah, it's
the
good.
The people who are the proudest of their wine are the ones who usually make the worst.
I was told
the humble people, the ones that go, "Oh, I don't know if it's a good amount."
They make like
I make it the best. My wine is the best. Carlo Rossi calling me. He want to know what I make, how I make.
It comes in a juicy juice
then
bottle.
Should I not name names?
No. You have a wine name
no,
people's
no.
names?
No, I was going to name, I know an Italian winemaker that makes wine with their family, but refuses to let the siblings in the family know what varietal that they make the wine in.
Of course.
So this is coming out of the same womb. Okay, they all journeyed out the same birth canal. He has the grapes delivered when they are not there and tells them so that they don't know the secret sauce.
That's
they make
so
it
sad.
Together, yes. That's who we come from.
That is true. People take very seriously their proprietary mixes and things like that.
Sure. I mean, there's only so many combos.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know.
It's like a Rubik's Cube. Yeah. I mean, once you get the hang of it, you can kind of make it, figure it out. But some of them act like they got this special...
Yeah.
Oh, nobody know. I use the Zinfandel the
like they're
best.
Getting a Rothschild wine out of
Rothschild
it.
Rothschild is the best. Joan F., you pay a lot of money for wine, but not like my wine. It's the best.
My father-in-law, because he was a doctor in an Italian neighborhood, still gets tons of homemade wine. We have all. It's a cellar full in his house. But I was told once by a guy that I knew that they fortified their wine in Italy by taking the Damijan, one of them, sticking a copper pipe in it, and letting it freeze during the winter, like ice freeze around the pipe or something, but the alcohol won't freeze. So the water would freeze around the pipe, and then they would turn it over and drain out what was left, which was like pure alcohol, and then fortify their other Damijans with that. I don't know if that's actually true, if he made it up.
Well, the beauty of our people is there's a lot of whacked out stories.
That's very true.
Whacked out recipes. That's why I say, like, how many people, miracle stories, they have not died from botulism.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. I know boil nothing. I know sanitize. What do you mean sanitize? I clean it before I clean it nice. My wife will buy Dawn a Costco bigger container I wash.
Yeah, they probably bleach.
What do you mean? In Italy, I never hear anybody die. What do you call that thing? It's a botulism, but never mind.
Doesn't happen.
Never buy it because I make it the best.
So true. If you think about the basements we made all that stuff in, I you get a little skeeved out when you think about it. But we all live. We're all here. So can't complain.
No, I mean, some of them. For the Norwegians, all six of them. I think we have six Norwegians now. We've done a head count.
We do have a couple of them, yeah.
We do have a couple of them who listen to this. 99.99% of Italians are immaculately clean.
Yes.
You could eat off of their floor.
Yes.
And 90% of Italians make outstanding homemade wine. But the fun comes with the ones who don't.
And who aren't clean.
That's going to be, I call those, they're going to be caboose episodes. You know what I mean by caboose? When we're ready to wrap it in one day, now we're going to drop it the bomb. I know a story about her mother. Forget a bomb.
You'll know when the show's coming to a natural close when we start talking about people. I always say now, we're doing these shows live and uncut, and what I mean by that is live to tape. Like, we're not going to cut this unless, a phone rings or something. We're not going to cut anything out. This is just our conversation.
That's not what you told me. When we talk about people, that's getting edited, right?
No, but, exactly. But for... If we slip into
we have to cut it.
We can't leave the editing room completely empty because that's too important. You don't want to upset people. But you talk about botulism. I have in my car a beautiful frozen homemade sausage from our friend Ralphie Talley, the master butcher.
That's a Sandu Manguese sausage.
It's a very special sausage. I asked for it, and his son Joey brought it to me frozen. So I got to get home so that can go in the freezer so I don't give myself botulism on Sunday when I use it to make my sauce. So I am very happy that we have you guys here. It means a lot. This has been a lot of fun. Congratulations.
We are the world. We are the children.
This is why you're a great professor. You derive enthusiasm from them.
Yes, we got it. This is the revolution.
Yeah.
We come from a community that's at each other's throats. If this was a lot of adult Italian-American leadership, they'd be like, well, my name wasn't first, and why did he speak before me, and he spoke for 3 minutes, and she spoke for two. And I have this title and that title, and I hope that goes with these kids.
Me too.
Right? Because this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
The future. This is not a podcast about the past. I told you from the beginning, I did not want to be a nostalgia podcast. I remember. I'm not here for that. It's nice to sprinkle it, but we're here for the next generation. And the best part of this is that they all cooperated.
Yeah.
We had Unikins, we had Culture, we had NIAF. You had all these kids in here, the Italian Apostle, the Archdiocese of Newark. There's so many different hats here. And they all came together. They did physical labor. They demolitioned the bocce court. They showed the municipality that they were interested. The municipality came in, poured the money, and they are beautiful bocce courts. And all these kids came back, and they have a community, and they're playing bocce, and they're eating pizza. And what more could you ask for in life? And we even brought Father Barone from the Italian Apostle of the Archdiocese of Newark to bless the bocce boys.
He's like the chaplain of our friends group.
Yeah, he is. Oh. And he's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He's a dapper priest.
Always well-dressed, wears a cassock very well.
Big, nice straw saturno on today. How many priests in this day and age?
This is a man who knows how to
with cufflinks, a gold pocket watch, a cassock, and a saturno. That's a big combo. And he could not find a blessing of bocce balls in the Roman ritual. So he got the blessing of all things.
And Father, by the way, is a loyal listener to the show. Thank you, Father. We appreciate it.
As soon as the episodes come out, I'm...
You do it. And you send comments. I appreciate that. You let us know how you think.
And do I love this stuff?
I completely agree. And as Tony pointed out so well, all that work, all that cooperation to a gateway tradition that is going to be enticing, not just for them to come back, but for future generations. And that's what it's all about. So you guys
deserve a lot of credit. And the call to action, if you're a young Gen Zer, because even the millennials are not getting old. We won't bring that conversation up. But if you're out there and you're on your backside doing nothing, do something.
Yeah.
If this means enough to you that you're going to listen to us,
yeah.
There are Louis Nicastros all over the world. I say you're the Che Guevara of the Italian people, right?
I'm honored.
You're honored. And I know Che Guevara was a horrible guy, and he killed a lot of people. And that's and I know Louis is half Cuban, so that's not a that's not a compliment. And he was Irish. You know, Che Guevara was Irish.
What?
The grandmother was Irish, yeah.
That explains a lot.
But you're a leader. You're an absolute leader.
Right.
And Danielle, you're a leader. And Christina, you're a leader. And even brother is a leader. And you are the next generation. You're all under 40. And you made it happen. And if you're a young person out there, be like them.
Yep. That's right.
We're going to make T-shirts. Be like Louie. You can't see Louie. Louie's got a beard. We're going to have a Be Like Louie T-shirt.
Like the Che Guevara.
Be like Louie. Yeah. And Louie went to the municipality. He goes, I want to save the bocce court. He saved the bocce court. So wherever you live, in Pennsylvania, in Nebraska, or Massachusetts, whatever your bocce court is, whatever your Italian tradition is, if it means something to you, grandpa used to take you here, grandma used to go there, go out there, do it.
Yep.
There's no one stopping you. Success is going to be the...
Yep, and success is going to be the fertilizer for new growth, for sure.
Can I extend a thank you to my fellow Unicans? I couldn't do it alone. It was all my members of Elmwood Park Unico.
Go out. Shout out time.
All of them, all my members of Elmwood Park Unico that came and put in the labor. Paul DeRosa from the DPW and Jay Bulger from the city council here in Borough Council in East Rutherford. Tremendous help. And if you want to see what it looks like before and after, follow us on Instagram at Elmwood Park Unico, all one word. And you can see, scroll back, you'll find the old photos. And we'll probably do a before and after from today post as well.
And why don't we have we should have a bocce tournament.
That's the plan. I'm looking maybe end of fall, first week in November.
If the Italian American Podcast sponsor could put Pat on the trophy, like the little guy, just make it Pat.
Can I be in a toga?
Sorry,
a Roman Caesar with a laurel
leaf
in my hand?
Yeah, I would love that.
I got to have a baleen.
Perfect.
A baleen in one hand and a ball.
If you're out there and you're a sculptor, let us know.
We're sick people. This is sick.
I know. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We're going to go have some pizza. Thank you guys for what you did. You did a great job for not just this community, but our community in general. And thank the rest of you guys for being on here. It's always good to get together.
You didn't tell me to bring my kazoo.
No, shucks. I could have.
Go back to the old days.
You want dun, 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 dun. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next week.
If you want your life to be great, see that you're born an Italiano and your life will be great. See that you're born an Italiano.